Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael. Yes, it is me, as told by Bethany. And so I'm going to press on here with this Faith and Freedom show. You can give me a call, but either way, I'm going to press on. It's interesting stuff. So, you know, you may not even want to call me right now. This is good stuff, so we're going to press on. I'm going to go back to that commentary given by Ronald Reagan in 1964. What he's going to say next is very, very, very important. It goes back to this idea that I'm really trying to put forward here. We talked about the Honduras issue. We talked about the healthcare issue. We talked about the Afghan issue. And we talked about the single child program. By what authority? Quo warranto. We talked about usurpation and tyranny. What is it? Usurpation would be somebody doing something that's somebody else's job. So that would be somebody in the federal government doing those things that are reserved to the states or the people respectively. Or somebody in Florida doing those things that was reserved to the people or the person, the private human being. If it has not been expressly granted as a power, then the exercise of that power would be either tyranny, because it ought not to be done, or it would be a usurpation because somebody else ought to be doing it. That's what's going on here. So thanks for listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. Again, our number here is 888-850-1872. I'm going to go to now some commentary by Ronald Reagan. I think it's not the person who's speaking. I want you to hear what's being said. Use your critical thinking skills. And let's look at authority, not balance of wrong on the left, right on the right, or whatever you want to do. So let's go ahead and tune in and see what he has to say.
And what he will do. In this country of ours took place the greatest revolution that has ever taken place in world's history, the only true revolution. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another. But here, for the first time in all the thousands of years of man's relation to man, a little group of men, the founding fathers, for the first time, established the idea that you and I had within ourselves the God-given right and ability to determine our own destiny. This freedom was built into our government with safeguards. We talk democracy today, and strangely, we let democracy begin to assume the aspect of majority rule is all that is needed. Well, majority rule is a fine aspect of democracy, provided there are guarantees written in to our government concerning the rights of the individual and of the minorities.
What's important there is that statement that he said about democracy. He said, we use the term democracy. You're going to hear that a lot, because really, if you've got somebody who's charismatic and has a great marketing program named with weird little letters and acronyms and stuff, if they've got this team of marketeers going on to further a popularity of a particular executive in office or a particular political program or something like that, if you've got good marketing and you've got a duped populace who's depraved and spending all their time watching the in-flight entertainment while their plane's in a nosedive, well, what you're going to have is mob rule, effectively. And you're stirring up the passions of people rather than to doing that which is right and making sure that that your government is a minister of God for our good. So he said that democracy in this constitutional republic is okay. You know, it has its advantages in some way. It gives us a sense that the government is going to be sensitive to the passions of the people, but it's going to be kept in check by balances of ambitions, not just between the people and their sometimes depraved desire for self-gratification, and the balance between maybe an executive officer who's in power and might have some depraved ambition or something like that. And again, understanding that the founders, as they wrote, I'm thinking specifically in Federalist Papers, Federalist number 10, where they talked about these factions and competing ambitions, that the judicial branch, legislative branch, and all those different legislators from different areas, and the executive branch and all that, they all have their competing ambitions that would balance one another out in this mixed government. But what he said was, no matter what the passions, that the framers of the government that we have in this country, the greatest country on the planet, okay, this serious good stuff going on here, folks, that we could seriously lose in to the extreme and we're, it's just going to be an indictment on our stupidity if it happens, is that there are safeguards and guarantees that the passions of the majority would not trump the right of the man. See, because you have God, man, and then your goofy little government. Those things that God is indifferent to, if you get together as a government and come up with a little rule, like speed limits and things like that, that's fine. The problem is all of your passions and all your majority can't trump the man, his rights before Almighty God, and his immunities because of his rights before Almighty God, and his privileges, that you can't trump those things. Often we trump them ourselves by participating in some strange thing. We sign some form. Oh, it was mandated. They wouldn't let me do this if I didn't do that. Well, yeah. Okay. Revelation 21:8. Good review for that. Our number here is 888-850-1872. I'm going to click again and see what that guy from Death Valley days had to say. John Wayne. Try it again.
What can we do about this? Well, you and I can do a great deal. We can write to our congressmen, to our senators. We can say right now that we want no further encroachment on these individual liberties and freedoms. And at the moment, the key issue is we do not want socialized medicine. In Washington today, 40,000 letters, less than 100 per congressman, are evidence of a trend in public thinking. Representative Halleck of Indiana has said, when the American people want something from Congress, regardless of its political complexion, if they make their wants known, Congress does what the people want. So write. And if this man writes back to you and tells you that he too is for free enterprise, but we have these great services and so forth that must be performed by government, don't let him get away with it. Show that you have not been convinced. Write a letter right back and tell him that you believe in government economy and fiscal responsibility, that you know that governments don't tax to get the money they need. Governments will always find a need for the money they get, and that you demand the continuation of our traditional free enterprise system. You and I can do this. The only way we can do it is by writing to our congressman, even if we believe that he's on our side to begin with, write to strengthen his hand, give him the ability to stand before his colleagues in Congress and say, I have heard from my constituents and this is what they want. Write those letters now, call your friends and tell them to write them. If you don't, this program, I promise you, will pass just as surely as the sun will come up tomorrow. And behind it will come other federal programs that will invade every area of freedom as we have known it in this country. Until one day, as Norman Thomas said, we will awake to find that we have socialism. And if you don't do this, and if I don't do it, one of these days you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
What it once was like in America when men were free. By the way, sorry about those guys on the video. I had my headphones on and didn't know the audio was being heard by the other guys. I'm sorry, okay? I'll work on it. Hey, we can tell our children what it was once like to be free. Is that possible? Now, I didn't play that to advocate that you're going to go tell your congressman something political about whether you like the current bill or don't like the current bill. I think what was being said was there. He said, contact your congressman. Now, is it true? Is it possible that what he said was not true? What about this thing about the 40,000 letters making a difference? Have 40,000 people in silly little meetings made a difference? Does Congress right now, I'm getting a sense, I don't know if you are, I'm getting a sense that Congress isn't doing what the people want. And actually, if you think about it, we would hope that you're going to put people in office that even in your passions, if you want something, that Congress will have enough fortitude not to do it if they don't have the authority to do it. How about that? Wouldn't it be nice if Congress had the fortitude to not do anything unless first they found it a power that was right, a function of government enabling them to exercise the power in the Constitution. And then if it's not there, actually amending the Constitution, actually taking the painful steps of changing the Constitution to empower them to do something that they have not been given the authority to do. Boy, would that be a change. Maybe somebody ought to suggest, an idea of empowering the government to institute a Social Security program. Ay-yi-yi. But you know what? They have not imposed Social Security on anybody. I've got a letter right here. You can't see it. But I've got a filing cabinet right here. It has a letter from the Social Security Administration. Certified copy of a letter from the Social Security Administration explaining that there's no law that requires anybody to get a Social Security number for any reason, or to have one to work in the United States, or to get one, or to participate in the program. Your participation in the program is voluntary. Now, how you volunteer can come in many forms, whole different discussion. So really, right now, they have not instituted a police state Social Security program. Because, as far as I know, every person who's truly in the status of employer filled out an SS4 form and has opted in to that program. And then, of course, then you're under the rules of the secretary of whoever it is. So it still is voluntary. Now, it may be that if you get into this medical plan, if you're an employer and you're an employee, then you're kind of stuck in whatever program they come up with, because it's really an extension of this whole Social Security partnership and employment benefits, because you're in that particular club, you've opted into it. But the thing is, at the top of the House Bill 3200, whatever it is, it says for every American, notwithstanding their status. That's where it gets pretty scary. Do they have the authority to do that in the Constitution? I don't see it. It's kind of like you've got the social welfare program going on now, because there's nothing saying that they can't come up with some kind of goofy thing that you can opt into that is supposed to be self-sustaining. Remember, Social Security is supposed to be self-sustaining. It's not actually appropriated funds, you know? It's not being paid for by taxing somebody, you know, when they've got an import or excise. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be self-sustaining, just like this new medical thing is supposed to be. And just like Medicare, effectively, you know, essentially people pay into, one person pays into the program and essentially is paying for somebody else's, well, I guess when you pay in and it's paying for somebody else's care, I guess it really is appropriate. It is by the power of the sword. But really, technically, it's if you've opted into it. Now, the wording of this thing indicates that there's going to be, with every doctor, everybody's going to have a national ID card and then check in to show whether they've shown their financial responsibility. If they've paid into the program, if not, you know, then the police state kicks in on their life. Make sure no child left behind. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things that could be going on with this thing. Do they have the authority to do what they're doing? That's always going to be the question. We're always going to come back to that as the issue of the day, because we don't personally care about the left versus right, whether the good versus bad issues of right versus wrong. Really, our mission here is to make sure that you are paying attention to those things that are doing, that are actually operating within the authority of law that's been granted, because ultimately, you and I are all ultimately going to face Almighty God, judgment for our personal life, our personal relationship with Him, and how we've responded to the gift of His Son giving His life as a payment and penalty for our sin that we couldn't pay for ourselves, because we were just too depraved. We weren't worthy of paying the penalty of our own sin. So if our relationship is right with Him, then we will make things right with our neighbor. And that's really our goal. That's here at Faith and Freedom Radio and Freedom Ministries and the Liberty Works Radio Network. May or may not agree. By the way, the sponsors may not agree with me, but I think they got a sense that what we're doing here is necessary. It's something that needs to be done, and somebody needs to do it. Make sure it still happens, because really, I'll tell you what, it's nuts like me that made this country what it is today. And so that's it. We're going to see you tomorrow. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. And my hope is you'll ultimately prosper for you and your posterity.